Good morning, everyone. The message that I have to talk to you about this morning is kind of simple, I think. And I hope you all get something out of it. First of all, I want to say a quick prayer. Ask the Lord to be with me as I bring this forward. Oh, Lord, we come before you this time. We're thankful for this opportunity to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And at this time, Lord, I would like to ask you to please speak through me as well as to me, that we all would get your understanding that you will have for this message to come about. Help us to be able to know what you are saying to each and every one of us. Help us to be able to use this in our everyday walk. Help us, Lord, to be able to be better Christians and be the better for it. We thank you for this opportunity. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want to start with asking you all, I'm sure as most of you have, at some point or another, you have looked at television or went to a movie. And as the movie starts, it may start at the point in the present day, or it'll seem like it starts at a point, and then all of a sudden it says a time earlier. It takes you back. More or less, it starts at the end, and then it rewinds back to bring you up to that point of where the movie started at. That's sort of like what I want to do this morning. What I want to talk about is the title of the lesson is Payday. I like to call it, or if you could think of it, when you think of this lesson as I bring it out, put payday and then put in parentheses around it, special day. Because most of us, at one time or another, payday was a special day. When you got paid. It was real special if you didn't get what you thought you were supposed to get. And it was special if you got a little bit more than what you thought you were going to get. We all have a lot of special days as we come up, as we grow up. You know, as a child, if you were like me, one of my special days was my birthday. Because it was special to me. It wasn't special to a lot of other people, because they would tell me, this is your birthday present and your Christmas present at the same time. So I got cheated. I always felt. But anyway, at least they remembered it. So, but paydays are special days. And we look at it as a special day. And we can look at life and realize that a payday is coming. And we got two individuals that we can expect to get paid from. One is God, our Savior Jesus Christ, and the other is the devil. And what we do in life is going to determine how well we get paid. Now, I want to rewind back a little bit. Well, I'm going to start with, as I said, at the end. And then I'm going to rewind back. That scripture that was read, I have it. I know I have it. Oh, I had a different color. I got on my glasses. I don't know how I couldn't see it. The scripture that was read, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all them also that love his appearing. Now, let's rewind. let's look at Adam and Eve. In the beginning, they were told to live life, enjoy life, do basically anything you want to do except for one thing. Don't eat from a certain tree. Now, imagine you got everything you could ever ask for. All you got to do is don't eat from that one tree. Not a hard thing to remember. Not a hard rule to follow. It's very simple. Don't eat from that tree. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's what God told him. It wouldn't have been very hard to remember that. But when you look a little further in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, the devil comes along and tells Eve, you shall not surely die. Like I like to say, when the devil whispers in your ear, did God really say? Or he puts that question in your mind, is anything really wrong if I just bend the rule a little bit? The devil appealed to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Now, we all like to say, well, Eve was the first one to sin. Does it really make a difference? Didn't man sin too? Didn't they both sin? Isn't that why sin is in the world today? Because the man had just as much right to say, no, I'm not going to eat because God said don't eat. And just because his wife said eat, he could refuse. So some people like to throw the blame wholeheartedly on the woman, but we got to look at this thing realistically. The man is just as much at fault as the woman. And he should have been stronger because he was first. But, nevertheless, they both sinned. Thus sin and death, and all his woes were brought into the world. The man and the woman was driven out of the garden. Sin was was on the face of the earth. That's why we have thorns and thistles and a hard way of life today. That was the first payday. And that payday is still being dealt out today. Let's roll the film a little bit further. 2,000 years later, another payday came about. The other payday was when the world progressed and everybody was living every which way they wanted to live. And sin was so rampant in the world that God said, I am so sorry that I made man. I'm going to just destroy everything. But there was Noah, a savior in the sense of the word. Because of Noah, Noah found favor in God's eyes. And so God told him to build an ark to save his family. Now, of all the people in the world, it was just Noah and his family that continued to do the right thing. And think about that for a minute. Of course, the world was young, but it still was a lot of people in the world, and they had to know right from wrong. Didn't nobody else want to live right beside Noah and his wife, and Noah and his wife and family? Nobody else in the whole world. So, what happened? God saved them, put them in the ark with all the rest of the animals, and it was another payday came about. He paid them because he saved their life. Everybody else got their pay of destruction. because that's the way they live. Sounds cruel, but do we not have a choice today? Did they not have a choice then? Because God is so merciful that he gives us all a choice from the beginning of time. Just like rewind back, Adam and Eve, you got a choice. Do anything, just don't do this. I'm not going to make you do it, but you got a choice. Go follow the whole world. You got a choice. But we choose what we want to do. Let's go a little further. God kind of like starts over, replenishes the earth, men and women. We evolve. Hundreds of years roll by. We come to two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. You've heard about them. They were terrible cities. Again, if, man, you know, I had to kind of scratch my head on this a minute. If God just destroyed everything, and he took the good family from Noah's family, and he replaced the earth, how did they end up with a whole world of people that ended up doing wrong again in Sodom and Gomorrah? Where did they go wrong? What caused them to mess up? Then I had to think about it. Well, it weren't but two at the beginning. Adam and Eve. What caused them to go wrong? Satan was there then. He was there after then. He was there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And once he got a foothold, he got like a bad rash. He just sprayed it. You know, and because we are human, we get turned around, we our willpower is weak, but we have an opportunity to try to do our best and turn to the Lord. Even though we're weak, why we don't turn to the Lord? Why we don't make an effort? Because Satan keeps telling us, did God really say, do you really have to do this right now? When you say, I should read my Bible. Do you really have to read the Bible now? You can read it later. You can read it the night before you go to bed. You can read it tomorrow morning, first thing when you get up. You know, do you really have to pray now? And what do? We listen to what Satan says. Sodom and Gomorrah. It had gotten so bad that God said, I'm going to have to do this thing again. Destroy everything. But that was Abraham that told God, argue with God. Okay, he didn't tell God, he didn't argue, he pleaded. Basically, that's what he did with God. That what you're going to destroy everybody just because of what they're doing, there's got to be some good people in there. Why was he concerned? Because his family was there. Lot and his wife and daughters. Abraham was thinking about them. So he talked God down, pleaded with him, begged for him, and got him to say, okay, I know what you're trying to do. You want to save your family? Go ahead. Tell them to go up on the mountain, get away from the city. They didn't even live in the city. They lived on the outskirts, but it was close enough. He told them, tell them to seek refuge. Leave there. Don't look back. Another rule. Leave. Don't look back. And what happened? They left. The noise was so great, they were fleeing for their life. And the devil told Lot's wife, take a quick peek. You'll be all right. You're away from all the problems now. You're safe. she disobeyed. It don't take but one time for it to be the last time. And she turned to a pillar of salt. That was her payday. What a pay it was. Well, we're going to roll that film a little bit further. This movie is getting a little interesting. We're going to look at a great man, Moses. How God used him to bring his people out of Egypt. And family members, you got some families that are real close. Some families not so close. You got some large families. And you got some small families. You got some people, if you put them together, they may have some differences, but once you put them together long enough, they'll learn to work together. These people that Moses brought out of Egypt, they were grumbling, fussing, fighting, couldn't get along. And on top of that, Moses did all he could to save their life, and then they're going to turn on him. What do we call that? Biting the hand to feed you? God told Moses and Aaron in around about Numbers chapter 20 verses 10 that these people are grumbling. They're not grumbling to you, but they're grumbling because of me. They want water. Take the staff and speak to the rock and give them water. Now, here is the point where a lot of people say, the devil made me do it. As I said, we have a choice all through life. Most of the time we know what is right, but we still end up doing what is wrong. And then we use the excuse, the devil made me do it. Now, if we know, if you get up in the morning and it is snow outside on the ground, don't you know you're supposed to go out with a coat? What would possess you to go out without a coat and a short sleeve t-shirt? You gonna say the devil made you do it? If it's pouring down raining, pouring down rain is so hard that you can't even hardly see in front of you, why would you not put on something to cover yourself to keep from getting soaking wet? You're going to say the devil made me do it? Because you have a choice. You can't go out there. You can go out there with swimming shorts on like you're going swimming as the rain is pouring down that hard. But if it's cold, that don't make sense. But Moses knew what God said. Take the rod, speak to the rock, give the people water. But the people made him so mad that he would probably use that phrase, the devil made me do it. Instead of speaking to the rock, he took the rod and he smoked the rock twice. That was not what the Lord said. Did he think of the consequences? No, he didn't. He probably would be like me, saying, well, Lord, I was gonna do exactly what you said, but them people got on my nerves so bad. I wasn't thinking. And God said, no, you certainly was not thinking. Because you have to think when God tells you to do something, and you have to be obedient. But we're human, we make mistakes. That's why God is so good, because he gives us chance after chance after chance after chance. And he forgives us if we come to him with a repentant heart. He does it today. He did it that day. He could have smoted Moses the same way Moses smoted that rock and took his life like that. But he didn't. He still gave him a payday. He brought him up on the mountain and let him look over and see the promised land. They say you're not going in, but you will get a chance to see it. So he still got a payday because God is good all the time. Now let's look at David. David is what we typically call a man after God's own heart. I mean, he was the type of person that always put God first. We almost could say David was God's favorite because God blessed him with so much. But David was just a man like any other man that walked the face of the earth except for Christ. And every man that walks the face of the earth has sin. None of us are perfect. But didn't I say God is so good? David committed a hideous crime of lusting after another man's wife, having a child with her, and even to the point of having the man killed so he could cover up his sin. God is still good. Because he repented, and in Psalms 51, verse 3, David says, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." He realized in the end just how serious his crime was. You see, sometimes some people can get in a position where they think they are so high up that they can get away with anything. That's why Satan is where he is today. He was one of the best angels, if not the best angel. But he wanted to be better than God. Sometimes our judgment gets clouded because that's Satan's job, to cloud our judgment. But if we realize what God has blessed us with, what he's brought us through, and everything he's done, all it takes is a moment for you to sit back and consider where you were and where you are now. Even in the worst times, when you are feeling your worst and in your lowest, you're still not as bad off or been through as much as Christ did. Because can you picture all the people that was praising you one minute, now they calling for you to die the next, spitting at you, throwing stuff at you, and you came here to save their life, and they treat you like this, hang you up on a cross, after you got beaten so bad the blood is running all down your body, and still you have no animosity in your heart for the people that have done this. Oh, it's a great thing. God is so good. Let's look a little further. We all have good friends. You know, people that are kind of close to us. How does it feel when they do you wrong? It's a terrible hurting feeling, right? I mean, because we got the love of Christ in us, we got to kind of shake it off and say, that's all right. That's okay. I forgive you. Someone said, I forgive you, but I ain't going to forget it. Well, of course you're not going to forget it. That's how we learn. We grow. But we have to have a forgiving heart, because if we don't forgive them, then Christ won't forgive us. And it's a hard thing to do. But Judas betrayed Christ for 15 pieces of silver. I don't know how much silver was worth back then, but I could say if it was $15 or $15,000. In the end, it didn't mean nothing to him because he throwed it down on the ground and said, take it back. And then he went out and hung himself. What a payday he got for doing what he did. But at the time, He thought he was doing the right thing. How about Pilate? Pilate knew that Christ was innocent. He didn't have no part of it. He tried to find a way out. Pilate said, I can find no fault in this man. Y'all take him, do what you want to do, but I'm not part of it. I'm washing my hands of it. Like, that's the end of it for him. Well, Pilate, if you had so much power, if you told Christ, don't you know I have the power to determine whether you live or die? You going to tell me you have all this much power, yet to even wash your hands and then tell me, I ain't got nothing to do with it. That don't make sense. But because the Jews wanted to kill him so bad, they told Pilate, crucify him, crucify him. Let the blood of his death be on our children's head. And so be it. It was. And they suffered behind it. What a payday that they got for doing that. We call him to Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Oh, what a treacherous deed. Now, those of you that may have brothers and sisters, you know they can get on your nerves. You know they can make you mad sometimes. You know, if you was like me when I was young, me and my brother came to blows. We came to blows so bad that our friends was banished. We was out playing football. Me and him getting the argument, getting to fighting. They would take a seat because the game was stopped. And we would fight. And I mean fight, almost like fighting to the death. Because somewhere, somebody said blood is thicker than mud. So when you fight with your relative, you fight to kill, more or less. Where you fight with somebody else, you might stop and let them go about their business. But you just can't seem to stop yourself. Sort of like Cain and Abel. But that's the devil in your ear keep telling you, get him, get him, get him. And you just keep getting him, getting him, getting him. And then afterward, you think about it, you say, yeah, I shouldn't have did that. I'm sorry, so sorry. You realize that was my brother or that was my sister. But at the time, you were so mad, you couldn't see nothing but anger. Joseph felt that way, I guess, for a small period of time. But because he had God in front of him, it saved him. In his thinking, and the way in which he was treated after being sold into slavery from his brothers, and even to the point of being in the governor's house, his wife lied on him because she wanted to lay with him and he wouldn't, being forgotten while he was in the dungeon from the ones that was in the dungeon, I think it was the baker and the, I can't remember exactly which one, but the baker, the butcher, I know I don't have it right, but it was some people that was in the court of the king at the time, and they were supposed to remember him. How soon we forget once the pressure is gone. But Joseph had a lot that he could have been angry about. Being mistreated, the way life things happen to him. You know, sometimes I can think back in my life how, why does everything always seem to be happening to me? Do it ever happen to anybody else? Every time I try to do one thing, something else happens. I make one step and get knocked back too. Why me? Why I don't think? Well, you're still here to complain. The Lord is still blessing you. Didn't you get over that hurdle? Didn't you make it through that? But no, I'm looking at what I don't have and what I ain't got and what I should have, I think. Joseph didn't do that. He kept on praying to the Lord. And the Lord blessed him, brought him out, and he saved his family. The same family that sold him in slavery. What a payday. One other person, Paul. We speak a lot about him in the Bible. Paul was the type of person that he was very enthusiastic about what he did in all things. That's what happened. He was going the wrong way. He had to come face to face with the Lord to realize he was going the wrong way. But the Lord did open his eyes. And after the Lord opened his eyes, oh, he did face some suffering then. It's sort of like, I can't speak for you all, but when you first become a Christian and then afterward, it's harder to be a Christian than it was to live a life in sin. Because now you know what is wrong, and you got to try your best not to do that. Nobody got to stand beside you and tell you, you know you should not do that. You know this ain't what's right. You know this, you know that. Nobody whispering in your ear other than the devil. That's telling you, go ahead, ain't nobody looking. You can take that, you can do that. But we in ourselves have to make that choice. Because God is still good. He still gives us a choice. Every time we have a choice. Do you want to do this or do you want to do that? Paul took a whole lot of suffering. And after he realized what God was trying to do for him, he gave his life over to God and he took everything that came his way. From being hungry, to being beaten, they almost tried to kill him. He still kept preaching. He didn't stop. He was faithful. And he did all that he could do. That's why he wrote that verse of 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 8. He believed that God was going to reward him in the end. And you know, I would like to think that because Paul came face to face with Christ is what gave him his conviction, what made him not stray away from the course. And I often wonder, if that was to happen to me, would I know? Would I still stay on the right course? Because I've had some type of experience that would make me realize God has got you here for a purpose, man. You got to do the right thing. No one else has to tell you no more. You know. But I still have a choice. And sometimes I still make the wrong choice. Because the devil is still at me. Paul looked for his payday. I think he got it. I think he's sitting up in heaven now. I close with, further along the road we travel, the more we're going to think about the end of the way. Some of us, we don't experience or think about it until we get, as people say, on our deathbed. And your life, as they say, flashed across in front of your face. And you think about everything that has happened. And you get that, I should have did that. I could have did that if I had a did that. It's too late. Because you're at that point where it's almost over. There's not too much more you're going to be able to do. But we have an opportunity now, while we're still able, to make that decision of what we're going to do. The race will soon be over, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's found in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. So, I come to you this morning to try to get you to consider, what kind of payday are you heading toward? As of right now, each of us, I think we still have an opportunity. the two thieves that was hung on the cross beside Christ at the time of their death, they still had a choice. One of them still chose to go the way he had been living. The other one asked for forgiveness. And he got, I think, a great payday. Because Christ promised him that from that day forward, he would be with him. So as long as we are living, we still have a choice. I ask you to consider, work for your payday that you will be most happy with. Because once it's gone, it's gone. And we won't have another chance. This is my lesson. You've heard the word of the Lord. We have a choice. In order to be with Christ for all eternity, we have to hear the word and we have to believe the word. When you hear and believe, it's going to do something to you. It's going to make you want to change, or either it's going to make you go away from it. It's going to make you say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to do that. That ain't me. Excuse my English. That's not me. I'm not like that. You're going to continue on to doing the things you know is wrong, or you're going to make a choice and try to do what God would have you to do. When you seriously make that choice, you will confess. You're going to repent. You're going to be sorry first. But then you're going to have to confess. Now, confessing don't just mean coming forward and saying, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. I want to change my life. Confessing means you have to live that life each and every day, everywhere you go, 24/7. Because you're taking the name of Christ. So you're confessing that to anybody and everybody that you see. Don't mean you got to go out there on the street corner and stand on a soapbox. You got to go out there and live the life of Christ. That's confessing. And then you'll be baptized also. And here comes the hard part of all. Like I just said, you have to keep that promise that you made each and every day, 24/7. To follow Christ's teaching. And to try to make disciples out of others. You have to be that example. That's the hard job. But it's not impossible. And yes, we will make mistakes. Yes, you will fall. As I've said so many times before, God is good. He gives you a chance. And he gives you a chance, an opportunity to repent. So consider that. This is my lesson this morning. I hope we all will benefit from it. Let's stand while we've been led into our invitation.